We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, the Michigan Wolverines are state champs yet again, 44-10 over the in-state rivals Michigan State Spartans. It was a backyard brawl early on, then it was a runaway by the bullies of the state. That was the Michigan Wolverines. We'll break it down on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
It was really good football. Sound football. Guys doing their job.
Everybody did what they had to do. Execution was amazing.
I could feel it clicking and it just felt real good. All of it.
I just felt like I was having the most fun I've ever had.
And to do it again, defend your home. Keep Paul. Another great game, another great win.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Michigan dominated on both sides of the ball. Brian. There is so much for us to talk about in this game.
No doubt, John. But before we break it down, take me through what the Wolverines got to experience after winning this game. While you were at Michigan, you were a part of four wins against State. So what's the feeling like to win this game, to hang out with Paul Bunyan? It's got to be special.
Well, it's a great feeling. And just like True Wilson, you know, who talked about this matchup on In the Trenches this past week, they wanted to win this one convincingly. They wanted to know that this wasn't a last-second victory. There was nothing fluke that happened. This was a dominating 44-10 performance by Michigan over Michigan State. And the feeling in the locker room, the feeling for anybody that is involved with this program, it's hard to put into words, but damn, it feels good.
Shea Patterson, a career-high 384 yards, Michigan record for a Michigan State game. To work through some of the struggles he had, the injuries he endured, one heck of a job. You got to feel great for him and for this offense as a whole.
Well, you do. And you know, when you think about Shea Patterson, and at the beginning of the year, he was taking a lot of heat. You know, everything was supposed to go right this year in regards to, you know, Shea Patterson, the Josh Gattis offense and the receivers and everything, you know, the returning offensive line. And it didn't come as easily as any of us had hoped. But now, you know, 10 games into it, you see what they have been working on. And a couple of, you know, about a month ago, you hear Coach Harbaugh talk about this offense is so close to finding its stride. And we talked in the pregame. We wanted to see a complete game, four quarters, rushing the ball and throwing the ball and getting those receivers, all of them involved. And today you saw that. And I know the rushing yardage doesn't look great, but a lot of those plays that are called, even if they only gain, you know, 2 or 3 yards, they're too set up something in the passing game to make things easier for the offensive line to block and protect Shea Patterson. And I thought Shea Patterson, his decision-making of when to throw the ball away, his accuracy today, there are obviously a few plays I'm sure he'd love to have back because he did have a couple more wide receivers open. But his just ability to connect with his receivers, to be on the same page, it was great and so good to see for a kid that has given so much to this program and worked so hard to get where he is, to have a day like this against one of the biggest rivalries at home. It just was a great performance.
And really, the offense all came together on that 12-play, 98-yard drive to take the lead for good in the second quarter. And John, I'm guessing it reminded you of this, courtesy ESPN from 1997.
Howard breaking a tackle and near the one.
The red zone has been a very fertile area for the Michigan team this year. They're 27 out of 28.
Dead ball, personal foul on the defense, half the distance, first down.
That's Demetrius Underwood, who is a little bit riled up.
Well, we had a long talk with Coach Nick Saban about this kind of thing yesterday. He does not allow cheap shots or trash talking. He was sick about the insinuation that his team was doing that, and now here's one of his better players who's getting into the extracurricular activity.
Well,
and it cost them down close to the goal line.
But the guy who made first contact was John Jansen from Michigan.
Yeah, but the guy who retaliates always gets called.
Always. Greasy, another sneak. Touchdown, Michigan, completing a 95-yard drive.
There is no finer feeling for an offensive lineman than to take a football 95 yards, mostly with running plays. Might have been all runs. Was there a pass completion in the entire drive? That was a beautiful drive for the Wolverines.
John, I know you remember that well.
Absolutely.
Now there were
a little shout out there too.
There were a few passes on this 98-yarder, but it's pretty cool. One of the most defining moments of this game was that drive, just like 22 years ago it was for you and your team.
Well, and you know what? When you get on the field and you see the ball downed on the 2-yard line or the 5-yard line, you look and it looks like it's 3 miles long because you've got so much ground to cover, but you chip away at it and you get down and all of a sudden you get to the 50-yard line and you start believing and you get down inside the 10-yard line and you at that point, especially, you know, you hear the announcers there for an offensive lineman to take it 98 yards, 95 yards, shove it right down their throats and put it in the end zone. Nothing feels better than that. And I'm so proud of these guys, especially Andrew Vistardis. Because when you go down, when you have your center go down in the middle of a drive like that, and you put another guy in that position, first of all, he's been standing on the sidelines for an hour. He is, you know, he's cold. These guys have to continue to warm up all the time. For him to go in there, not miss a beat with this offense, deliver the ball to the quarterback or to Hassan Haskins in the Wildcat formation, that was a tremendous job and a great job by this offense in showing discipline and, again, shoving it down the throat of the Michigan State Spartans.
Yeah, they really did. Last thing on the offense, balance was really impressive. Michigan finding 9 different pass catchers, 4 different guys with a receiving touchdown. But in particular, Ronnie Bell, a tremendous effort. 9 catches, 150 yards, both career highs. He didn't score today. But, boy, he was the catalyst for several Michigan drives that ended up in 6.
When you see Ronnie Bell, I get so excited when I see him on the field because that's a Michigan football player. He gets up from every play like he's done it before, and he's going to do it again. He doesn't sit there and flex. He doesn't sit there and give the first down. He just makes the play, hands the ball to the official or tosses it to him, gets back in the huddle and says, give me another opportunity. I love watching Ronnie Bell play, and that is he is one of the guys that is the heart and soul of this offense, of this team. It is so fun to watch him play, but and to watch him go 9 catches, 150 yards. Anytime Michigan needed a play, all Shea Patterson had to do was look for number 8, and he was there. He was available, made himself available, and it was a lot of fun to watch. And I tell you what, I am so fired up after listening to that and talking about that 98-yard drive. This was a Michigan football team today that we got a chance to see, and couldn't be playing better. Going into 2 more weeks, and I know we're going to talk about Indiana in just a little bit, but we also have to talk about those Buckeyes because they're going to be at full strength, and I can't wait to go and do the same thing to them.
Slow down there, big fella. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some defense. Wow. Hey now. Let's go.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All right, John, let's talk about the defensive side for the Wolverines today. Michigan State moved the ball a little bit early, jumped out to a 7-0 lead. Then, pretty much after that, the Wolverines defense buckled down and then some.
Well, they did, and you know, even in the second half, when you – you know that Michigan State's going to get the ball to start the second half. There was 102 yards gained all half by the Michigan State Wolverines. A lot of that by the Michigan State Spartans, but a lot of that was in garbage time. And this game, when Coach talks about a complete performance, offense, defense, special teams, it was exactly that. The defense, you know, you can't just look at one guy, because when you look at the stat sheet, there's six tackles by Josh Uche. There's Aiden Hutchinson. There's Jordan Glasgow, Josh Metellus. You look at the stat sheet, and it's littered with the defensive names. And it's, I've said this before. I've talked to Don Brown about it, and the defensive guys, they are a swarming defense. It is a competition to see who can get to the ball first and to make sure that all 11 guys, when they watch the film, are in the final frame when they cut the film off, because they don't want to be the one guy that's not there. And you see that pursuit, you see that passion from this defense. And it was this, what we talked about at halftime in regards to Cody White making that one catch that led to the touchdown, the 29-yard catch that went down to the one-yard line. It was an RPO, and all it was guys' eyes being in the wrong position. And that's all it takes when you're playing against a team that can, you know, run the RPO system. In the second half, from that moment on, it was guys were locked in. You could see that their eyes were exactly where they were supposed to be. Their bodies were in good position. They were using good technique. And discipline is what makes a great defense, and this was a disciplined defense today.
Yeah, and discipline really in all units allows you normally to win a rivalry game. But when you have the types of big plays, we discussed the offensive side, the big plays we saw for the Wolverines and the long drives, but defensively you get several sacks. Levert Hill, Ambry Thomas each with interceptions. I know it's on special teams, but Khalik Hudson's a dude. He's a defender. He came up with a block punt. Those types of big momentum shifting, or in Michigan's case today, momentum enhancing plays, that allows you to roll in a rivalry.
Well, it does. And when you are in a rivalry game, and we've seen this, we've wanted to see it more of Michigan getting up. And then, you know, it's like they get up and they don't, you know, step on their throats. They don't put the pedal down. Whatever analogy you want to use, today they kept the pressure on. The pressure was on Brian Lewerke, Elijah Collins. The pressure was on the Spartan defense, especially the secondary, to try and make something happen. And Michigan just did not allow Michigan State to find any rhythm on offense, to make any stops on defense. They just kept the ball rolling. And this is when you think about a good football team. The performance that you saw today is what you're going to see.
And that's a credit to just, you know, not just the players, but the coaching staff too. There's been some funky stuff in this rivalry, and weird things can happen. Who knows how differently this game plays out? Michigan will still win the game, but, you know, you go back to that block punt, 4th-and-1 Michigan State had near midfield, false start, so instead of going for it, they have to punt it away, and then the block punt, touchdown one play later, game's pretty much over. Michigan continued to accelerate. They did not give Michigan State an inch, and I have to imagine that was a big point of emphasis ever since, really, 2 weeks ago against Maryland.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't give any team, you know, whether they're better than you or worse than you, an opportunity to feel like they can get back in the game, especially when a team is down. All they need is a spark, and we saw it against Notre Dame where Michigan was up, and then, you know, a penalty goes against them, and then Notre Dame scores. Today, Michigan State was the first team to score. They drew first blood, but Michigan just went down the field in the next drive, scored a touchdown. They scored on 7 consecutive drives, one punt. And I know there was a turnover on 4th downs, but this team has been determined all season long to continue to improve, to continue to put what has happened behind them. And now the challenge is they have to do that again. But it's a lot easier to put a victory, a great victory, behind you than it is a tough loss.
Okay, let's get into the interviews. And as always, we'll start with the head coach, Jim Harbaugh. Here's his conversation with John.
Coach, you know, we'll get into specifics in a minute, but, you know, how does this feel for you and the team?
Feels great. There's so many guys that played really good. It was really good football. I mean, sound football, no turnovers, guys doing their job up front, on the offensive line, defensive line. Offensively, Shea Patterson, we could start there. I mean, he had a whale of a game. Ronnie Bell was outstanding. Donovan Peoples-Jones, I mean, they were having a hard time tackling both those guys. The backs, the tight ends contributed huge. I can't remember picking up a 3rd-and-29 around here in a long time, but Sean McCune got down the seam, and defensively. Glasgow was all over the field again. Bunch of really good performances. LeVert on the interception, pressure. Glasgow was in on a sack. Khalik Hudson's block punt. I mean, just really sound football. It was really makes me happy.
Well, it's got to be fun to watch and fun to be a part of. It was fun for us to watch up in the press box. But when you think about Shea Patterson, and you know, early in the season he was taking a lot of heat, to have a performance like this in a rivalry game, what did you see from him more specifically today?
It's huge. He set a record. I think that's the most passing yards by a Michigan quarterback in a Michigan State game. 384 eclipses Tom Brady's record of 285. So by 99 yards, I'd say that's a whale of a game. That's a huge game, and to get the ball to so many receivers, I just so happy with Donovan and Nico and Tariq. Ronnie Bell, had a career game, and then some of the younger guys, Cornelius Johnson and Mike Sanderson, had a big catch early in the game, and Giles Jackson did really well as well. And Nick Eubanks, Sean McCune, all got throws to him. So it was really impressive, the route running. I thought our coaching staff did an excellent job. Josh Gattis, in particular, the things that we had predicted there would be Michigan State's adjustments were their adjustments. So the game plan was really wired up well, and it showed out there today.
And you were able to spread the ball around to 9 different receivers. When you have that ability and you've got a quarterback in Shea Patterson that's seeing the field and making the decisions, it's got to make it easy to call a game.
Well, Josh called a great game, and there was a lot of good, a lot of variety. Probably about the most we've thrown and completed RPOs, and there were some big gainers in that department. Up front, we just had the one sack. I thought our offensive line played really well. The run game, they were devoting a lot of attention to stopping the run, and that really opened up some throwing lanes.
Defensively, you get 2 interceptions, Ambry Thomas and LeVert Hill. The job the secondary did.
Really good. I mean, I feel great for Ambry and LeVert, both Michigan guys, and came from the state of Michigan, grew up and played their high school ball. I know it meant a lot to them, and so many guys. Mike Dana had a big game, another guy from the state of Michigan, and Aiden Hutchinson was kind of possessed out there. It was just awesome. I just happy for the guys. Everybody in the program. I mean, the fifth-year seniors are now 3-2 in this rivalry. The seniors are 3-1 in the rivalry. The juniors are 2-1 in the rivalry. Sophomores are 2-0, and the freshmen are 1-0. So everybody in the program right now is, call that a program win.
And obviously proud of the win, but also, you know, things got a little testy early on. Your team was able to maintain their composure. How proud are you of your guys and the discipline that they had during this game?
I thought they were really good. I mean, it was obvious they were gonna, any push or whatever. Some of the things that don't get called, were getting called in this game. But I thought our guys just really played sound. I mean, really kept their composure, really did their job well, executed. Had fun out there. Playing with, the love of the game, a light heart, and then making the tough plays when they had to, really good ball security the whole day. All those things in football where, you have a team that plays that sound of a game across the board. It just really makes you happy.
And I know that, the season's not over. There's still 2 more games, and you got Indiana next. How long does this win last, and when do you move on?
We'll enjoy this one for a little bit. For me, it's usually about 5 or 6 hours of feeling really, really good, and then be on Indiana.
Before we let you go, what was the message to the team after the game?
Oh, just the same thing I talked to you about, really. I mean, just the sound football, the great team play. There's so many guys that played really well. It's really almost impossible to single out one. I mean, you talk about the 9 receivers who caught balls, the way the offensive and defensive lines played, the secondary, their performance, linebackers were outstanding, block punt in the special teams. Really good returns by Donovan and Giles in the kicking game. Just couldn't really find a guy that didn't play well, And you know, every a lot of stars in this game, individual, but collectively it was one of those great team efforts. So happy saying to victors and congratulating them on the win.
Well, congratulations, Coach.
Thank you.
There's head coach Jim Harbaugh after the Wolverines blowout win over Michigan State. Now to the player interviews with Doug Karsh. You heard Coach Harbaugh discuss our first player in detail, QB1, Shea Patterson.
All right, Shea, I don't know what else to say other than your best game as a Wolverine. Did you feel particularly dialed in out there today?
I just felt like I was having the most fun I've ever had. Actually, but just playing a football game, you know. The atmosphere was amazing. Couldn't be more proud of my teammates and how they played as well.
You guys faced a little bit of adversity early when they go down and score on their first possession. Did you feel any pressure, or did you guys know that it's okay, you got this?
No, we didn't flinch.
You didn't flinch, and then touchdown pass to Nick Eubanks got you on the board. Take us through that play.
You know, that's just Nick just making a play. You know, play we worked on all week, and they gave us the look we wanted, and I mean, he made a tremendous catch in the corner of the end zone.
It's a 7-7 game. You guys are backed up on your own 2-yard line. You get it out a couple yards. You're facing a 3rd and 7, and maybe in retrospect the biggest play of the game. You complete a pass to Donovan for a first down. Take us through that.
You know, our whole goal is when we're backed up is to flip the field, you know, get 2 first downs, and, you know, at worst, put our defense in a good situation for the next drive. So, you know, we just executed the play, you know, how we did all week, and he was wide open.
Right after that, you hit Ronnie Bell with a couple of passes, one where you had to scramble and find him over the middle, and then another one for a gain of 9. But you and Ronnie, he had 9 catches and 150 yards today. Was he particularly dialed in?
He is, man. He does a heck of a job of playing with me when I get outside the pocket, and he just finds the open space and makes it easier on me.
Later in the game, another big play. You have a 3rd and 20, and you find Sean McCune down the seam. Take us through that.
You know, they dropped and left the middle wide open, and Sean found the vacated spot and made a hell of a grab.
Another touchdown pass. A lot of good plays to go over here. Another touchdown pass to Nico Collins after the interception, and you guys go for the jugular right away. What did you see there?
I just saw a big body making a move and going up and making the catch. You know, it was really simple. That if they played the coverage we thought they were, and that's just Nico for you.
With Nico, does it feel like you just have a giant radius you can throw the ball out there?
You know, 9 times out of 10, if you put it in his vicinity up high, he's gonna come down with it.
Obviously, there was a late hit mixed in there, really late hit. What happened there?
I'm not sure. I let go of the ball, and a couple of seconds after, I was getting speared in the back. So, but you know, that's what happens when you come out and do what you're supposed to do. You dominate, and the other team gets frustrated.
Obviously, you running the ball was part of the game today. Some big runs from you. Did you know going in you were going to carry it a lot?
Yeah, you know, I think that makes our offense more explosive and opens up the running game for our running backs as well.
One other touchdown. You had 4 of them. One other touchdown, Cornelius Johnson late. You're looking at a 3rd and 2, and it looks like you guys might be running out of the clock, and then he's wide open.
Yeah, that was a heck of a play by the freshman, and great call by Coach Gattis. You know, that we haven't ran that all. We ran the same look, same type of play all game, and it was just him making a play.
Now you got a challenge ahead, because between two rivals, you got a really good Indiana team. This is the classic trap game. How do you as a leader make sure that your team has no letdown?
I just make sure we don't take anything for granted. Come out with the same intensity we have for the past few weeks and continue that on through Ohio State.
Shea, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Shea Patterson with a career day, as did this man, Ronnie Bell.
Do you really feel it coming into today?
Getting the bye week, getting my body up underneath me, just kind of everything. And then it was really just in warm-ups, I guess, where I could feel it clicking, and it just felt real good, all of it.
You know, the first catch you made, I was to actually stand on the field behind Shea Patterson, and you didn't even look that open, but he put one of those throws that kind of threw you open. What did you see there?
Nah, man, Shea had a little special to him today. I peeped it, like I said, in warm-ups. He threw a ball at me today in warm-ups, and I looked, and I just told the guys, I said, yeah, number 2's got it today. He got a little extra on that ball today. And that's exactly what he did. He came out, and, I mean, on that play, for instance, I mean, kind of scrambled Drew, and there was like 3-4 guys around me, and, man, he put the thing right where it needed to be and got the first down.
He had 384 yards passing, of which 150 on 9 catches came to you. I don't know which of your 9 catches to talk about, but which one do you think was your best?
Oh, man, it's probably the one where the guy fell, or, I don't know, it was like towards the end of the second quarter. Probably that one just because I had messed up on that route beforehand. So just to make clean up my mistakes and do it right the second time was good.
You got that was the catch on their sideline where you almost scored. It looked like you were pretty disappointed you didn't score.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the guys keep coming at me because I still ain't got any end zone this year. But it's all right. I know it's coming.
Take us back here to the Penn State game. I know you were really disappointed, but the support you got from teammates and the next time you were on the field in the Big House, the fans gave you a resounding applause. Talk about coming back from that moment to be where you were today.
I mean, it's just big. I know with the seniors, man, I owe them big time. And just after that game and my teammates, man, the love that I got from them was insane. And honestly, leaving Penn State, it was hard to be down with the way that my guys was picking me up. And I'm just blessed to have them and the support that they gave me, and then my family back home, everybody, and then just the fans in the Big House. It's a blessing for everybody's support that I got.
Tell us a little bit about the look on their faces the game went on, because the personal fouls started to pile up. Could you sense their frustration?
Yeah, we knew it was coming, and it was just a matter of time. And the biggest thing for us was just, you know, don't fall for it. You know what I'm saying? Don't get into it with them. Just beat them every play. When they do something, run back, line up, and just do it again. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we did, and I mean, it was awesome.
Do you feel like with the giant receivers you guys have, with Nico, Tariq, and Donovan, that you're just flying under the radar making plays?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just I'm always somewhere, and I always got those towers around me. It's hard to take pictures with them, man. They make me look little, but it's a lot of fun playing with those guys. Those guys are all special.
But a question, because you were going to go play college basketball. Are you the best basketball player of the wide receivers?
100%. I'm the best basketball player on the team. Everybody can get it, for sure.
All right, talk about the challenge next week. You got to go on the road, play Indiana, sandwiched between rivals. This could be a trap game. How do you make sure there's no letdown?
We know Indiana's an excellent team. I learned quick last year playing them here. And we just got to make sure, you know what I'm saying, just like we did this week, execute, and just play hard.
Ronnie Bell, thanks for your time.
Right on.
To the defensive side for our player interviews, right after the game, Doug caught up with Captain Carlo Kemp. Got a little help during the conversation, too.
What does this feel like?
To win a game like this, you know how much is at stake, how much you think about this the entire year. You think about Michigan State. You think about the team at the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a trophy game. Yeah. It's a staple game. It's a game you come here to win.
Rashawn Gary's here. Rashawn, do you have any questions for him?
How does it feel being a senior and looking back at a game like this and knowing what we've been through?
That's a great question. And nothing to enjoy this with the brothers I have here now and the brothers that I had and I still have. It's an exciting moment. You know, Rashawn was a part of these wins. He knows how important this game is to us. And to do it again, defend your home. Keep Paul. Another great game, another great win.
After their first drive, Don Brown kind of laid into you guys. What did he say, and was it effective?
I think it was really effective. You know, it's just that there's a lot of energy, and we started off, and we were into the game, you know, into the stuff that wasn't part of football. And he, you know, he gets in your face, he gets in your grill, calmed us down. You know, we leaned on Josh Metellus and Kalik Hudson and got the captains together, rallied the guys, and I think we were able to focus up pretty good after that.
Carlo, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
Really cool to hear from Rashawn Gary there. He's got a future in this. I think he's all right in the NFL, though. All right, final player interview, Josh Metellus.
All right, Josh, let's just start with the feeling in this locker room after you get a big win over a rival.
Oh, it's a great feeling. You know, we've been preparing. You know, everybody's been doing whatever they had to do to get ready for this game. You know, it was a big game. It's a state championship. And, you know, I feel like our guys came out and played, you know, their heart out. Everybody did what they had to do. Execution was amazing. Quarterback, offense was fluid. The defense, you know, was pushing as hard as we could. It was just a great win.
Obviously, everybody talks about how this rivalry brings out the best in Michigan State. And when they first got the ball, they went right down the field and scored. Mm-hmm. It was their only touchdown of the day. And I watch you guys interact with Don Brown a lot. And he's usually very clinical. But he got mad after that opening drive. What did he say to you guys, and did it help?
We were executing fine. It's just we was doing like little dumb things, like getting penalties that we never usually get. We jumping off sides, gave up a PI, you know, that really hurt us. So, you know, they got a short field too. So it wasn't like they went like 98 yards like we did. So, you know, we just had to make sure we stay focused and disciplined throughout the rest of the game. You know, your emotions can get the best of you in games like these, so we had to make sure we stay focused. That's why he was really mad.
And you guys got some penalties early, but they got them late. Could you see them getting frustrated?
We could see them, and the more I seen them get frustrated, I was preaching on the sideline, like, whatever they do, don't do it back. You know, they want us to be on the same level as them, and we're not doing that. So, you know, I was just making sure, you know, as much as they got frustrated, we were staying as calm as possible.
How about your brothers in the secondary, Ambry and LeVert? Both with interceptions. What did you see on those plays?
Oh, it was amazing. It did look just like practice. I told him that as soon as we got to the sideline. It looked just like practice, especially Ambry's. Every day in practice, they try to throw deep balls on him. He runs like he's running a route. He catches the ball. And, you know, it's just amazing to see him finally come through in the game.
One of the most impressive things I saw from the sideline is late in the game, they're looking at a punting situation, and you look up and see their backup quarterback, Rocky Lombardi, up close, and you made sure that everybody knew. Take us through that.
Oh, yeah, because going through the week, we watching film, we could tell there was a team, you know, in big games like this to try to do fakes. You know, they'll try to sneak somebody in there so you won't notice them and then leak them out. So as soon as I seen 12, it was a big part of the game. I'm, like, making sure everybody know, like, that's a backup quarterback. Because some people on punt return on offense, so they don't know. So, you know, I was just trying to make sure, like, watch the fake, everybody play safe, number 12, the backup quarterback.
All right, now you're going to go play what's one of the biggest trap games ever between two rivals. You got to go play Indiana, and they're good, and they always give you guys trouble. As a leader on this team, how do you make sure there is no letdown?
Oh, execution. We got to go in every day and practice every play and do what we have to do. We can't have nobody lacking. You know, everybody got to be focused on the goal. Everybody got to be tuned in, and we got to be able to go down there in their place and get a big win.
Josh Metellus, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks to all the players and head coach Jim Harbaugh for joining us. You hear it in all these guys' voices, John. Such a great day.
Oh, I tell you what, man, this is a great day. It is so much fun to beat up on your rival, to have a game like this. This just was, it was a joy to be around the big house today. It's always fun, but when it's Michigan State, it's a little bit better.
So let's look ahead. Step one of this stretch run surge that this team wants to go on is in the books. And hey, let's face it. Yeah, this is a rivalry game, but the next opponent, Indiana, playing better football right now than Michigan State was coming into this game. They hung with Penn State. They outgained Penn State by almost 100 yards, lost by 7 on Saturday in Happy Valley. Early thoughts on what we're going to see from a Hoosier team that, you know this, John, they've given Michigan fits even though the Wolverines have won most of the recent matchups.
They have, and this is a team with 7 wins. We haven't seen an Indiana team like this in a number of years. Michigan, I think, has a 23-game winning streak going into this game, but you know, a couple of years ago down there, it was a double overtime victory. Last year, it took 6 field goals for Jake Moody. I mean, this is a team that is playing with a lot of confidence. Peyton Ramsey, their quarterback, is a guy that can make things happen. Michael Penix Jr. goes down. Peyton Ramsey, who was a starter before Michael Penix was in there, comes in. They don't miss a beat. They continue to move down the field. They continue to be successful on offense. Stevie Scott is a tremendous running back. This is a team that Michigan needs to be completely aware of and how dangerous they can be. They have one of the top receivers in the Big Ten. That's Wop Fillier. I don't know how many passes he caught today, but going into this weekend, he had nearly 60 catches, you know, over 800 yards. He's a guy that's a playmaker in this defense. You know, at different points throughout the season, they've been a top 20 ranked defense. So this is an Indiana team that is well-rounded, complete, and Tom Allen, their head coach, is a great motivator. So this is going to be a challenge for Michigan because it's right in between their two biggest rivals, Michigan State, Ohio State. You got to go on the road to Bloomington and play Indiana. They better be ready.
We'll have plenty of coverage on the Hoosiers coming up this week on In the Trenches, the radio show archive Monday night, our weekly preview episode on Wednesday. But for now, just enjoy it. 44-10, a dominant Michigan win over the Spartans. Thanks so much for listening to this post-game edition of In the Trenches. And as always, go Blue.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.